My name is Phil Golding, and this is 5 Steps to Freedom. This episode, entitled Mastering Your Mind is Not a Mystery, is based on my 5-step process for healing your mind, self-awareness and empowerment, and my self-help book, 5 Steps to Freedom, A Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. To get an overview of my 5-step process, which is the basis of my work as a psychotherapist and self-awareness meditation mindfulness teacher, go to my podcasts, The 5-Step Process for Healing, Wisdom and Empowerment, Parts 1 and 2, which I have produced for this purpose. In this podcast, I'm going to show you how you can transform your ego into your ultimate potential of conscious awareness, and in the process, unlock your power to master your mind. So let's get started. Throughout the ages, as human beings, we have suffered predominantly at the hands of our own confusion, due to being in conflict with ourselves, with each other, or with nature. In various cultures throughout our time, however, there have also been those who have unlocked the chains of suffering by gaining mastery over their own minds. This has been the stuff of religion, myths, legends, and philosophy. Schools of wisdom, such as in ancient Egypt, the Hindu Vedas, Buddhism, the great Greek philosophers, Gnosticism, the Jewish Kabbalah or Sufism, just to name a few, have all claimed to have found the answer. We know the paths because they have all recorded their teachings and are all still being practiced. On the surface, they may all look different and complicated, and simply approaching them from an academic standpoint may just reinforce this perception. This all changes, however, when you use these various teachings as a guide to take charge of your own mind for the purpose of overcoming suffering. When used in this way, all the complexities and the cosmologies give way to one basic question: does this help me to overcome my suffering in the here and now? Here, you enter into the path of what is called mysticism, where you are trying to literally become the principles that scholars merely speculate and argue about. Mysticism is derived from the word mystery. In this day and age of freely available information, let's move beyond the perception of it being a mystery and give it a modern term by calling it the path of self-awareness. Since the mid-1800s, many scholarly seekers of wisdom from all walks of life have been collating and studying these various wisdom traditions, while also, more importantly, trying to genuinely live this wisdom. The relatively recent 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous can also be included among these schools of wisdom. AA, with its formula for self-awareness, has helped so many people from all over the world overcome suffering enough to become highly functioning members of society. Modern psychology, although weighed down by the limits of academia, has been doing its part as well to solve the mysteries of human suffering. There are also more experiential schools of psychology, such as existentialism, which is the practice of facing the reality of your impermanence with your open heart. Is not given much focus at university because you can't understand it only on an academic level. Existentialism, like mysticism, must be lived to be truly understood. The problem with academic psychology is that you can do all your studies to the point of being a qualified psychologist without actually applying what you have learned to your own life. You never have to really face yourself, unless you choose to do so under your own volition. The field of transpersonal psychology, however, where I locate myself, goes further to encapsulate the ancient wisdoms as well as modern psychology, and has an emphasis on the experiential path. Transpersonal psychology looks at psychology from the perspective that each one of us is a consciousness that is evolving, and accepts the validity of the path to enlightenment. Like so many others before me, suffering was my initial driving force that motivated me to face myself and look for answers within. In my teens and early 20s, I was caught in the grip of chronic and at times suicidal depression and PTSD. Therefore, how to overcome my own suffering was my first burning question. My own healing and awakening journey first began through a version of the 12-step program and the group support that was a part of that program, and then through my own studies and practices of the ancient wisdoms, while being a part of various other support groups and finding appropriate mentors. Through these paths, I learned to face myself on many levels, awakening inner knowing, while facing my own human fears and insecurities, and the dark emotions and confusions that came with them. I have also faced many difficult challenges while trying to manage my everyday life. All the while, I was learning to open my heart, my awareness, to increasingly deeper. And then, through my own studies and practices of the ancient wisdoms, while being a part of various other support groups and finding appropriate mentors. Through these paths, I learned to face myself on many levels, awakening inner knowing, while facing my own human fears and insecurities, and the dark emotions and confusions that came with them. I have also faced many difficult challenges while trying to manage my everyday life. All the while, I was learning to open my heart, my awareness, increasingly deeper into myself. Through living this path, I was able to overcome depression and the PTSD, and in the process gain increasing awareness and inner peace. Through this journey, a desire to help others also began to awaken. So my next question was, how can we solve the problems of humanity, such as conflict, greed, exploitation, and the disregard for the suffering of others? I came to understand that the answer to both questions is the same. I am therefore stating that I have found that answer. You may think that I am just being pretentious here. In reply, I could say that so many others down the ages, and also in our present day, have found the answer as well. But that may not impress you either. Because, after all, how do you really know? I need to find a useful way to explain it, which may inspire some intuitive spark within you that prompts you to live these principles yourself, this process, in your own life. But then, that still may not be enough, because it is normal at first to use the self-awareness process as a quick fix to try to escape from your mind out of fear of your deep vulnerabilities, rather than embrace the pain of your human suffering with your compassionate heart. This escaping from yourself approach to the path will likely give yourself a shallow experience, and in many ways will just reinforce the fears and confusions that keeps you disempowered. confusions in your mind will tend to pull you back into suffering, resulting in you losing faith and giving up. To truly place yourself in the position of actually experiencing the power of this transformational knowledge, you have to commit to living it ongoing, and to let go of what you think you know and open to a learning and growing. This points to why the answer to suffering remains a mystery to so many of us. So many have held the Holy Grail in their hands, only to put it down again due to the challenges of facing one's own human fallibilities. Crossing this bridge of faith and persistence into the land of personal experience is not unlike running an empirically valid scientific experiment that other scientists then test out by meticulously and methodically following the recorded information and coming up with the same results, therefore giving validation to the hypothesis of that experiment. Therefore, if you don't sufficiently follow the formula, you are simply not going to get the same results. In this experiment, however, you are not just the scientist, you are also the experiment and the experimental subject, which can add to the degree of difficulty, considering that your own ego is a major variable. I would suggest that this experiment has been validated by countless practitioners all through the ages on the strength of knowledge passed down, then genuinely put into practice right up to now. This then further implies that there are common elements, principles, or a physics to overcoming suffering. So let's have a look at what this physics is. There are two foundational principles or laws of consciousness that awaken our slumbering consciousness, our ego, into what we call awareness, which are acceptance and personal responsibility. Why acceptance? To answer that question, let's start with the second law of personal responsibility. The term self-awareness implies that you are placing your focus on your own mind as the source of your own suffering. Personal responsibility comes from the awareness that if you are blaming the world around you for your suffering, you will never have control of your own suffering and therefore your life. You are waiting for and even demanding that the world around you, and particularly the people in it, behave themselves according to your expectations before you can be at peace and be truly happy. Trying to make the world behave itself so you don't suffer has proven to be a futile exercise. Like herding cats, or expecting a room full of toddlers to sit down and be still and be quiet. Of course, you need to manage yourself in the world and set appropriate boundaries when needed, but you need to do this from the perspective of accepting the responsibility of caring for yourself first. In reality, we are all too often trying to control the world through the lens of our own suffering. This means that we are seeing the world from the standpoint of still being a child, who is still powerless over his or her own mind and environment, because children do not yet have a strong enough grasp of their potential of awareness. Children are genuinely a victim of their environment due to the vulnerability of their age and lack of control over their lives. As parents, as adults, we are supposed to represent awareness to our children, training them to be aware by the time they are reaching adulthood. This implies that adults have the capacity or potential of awareness. Our whole system of law is based on this premise of personal responsibility. Needless to say, as parents, we all too often lack awareness, particularly when it comes to knowing how to give and be unconditional love. resulting in confusion being handed down from generation to generation. If our suffering is caused by the confusion that has accumulated in our own minds, then we are trying to control the world from the standpoint of that confusion, of thinking that we are a victim. We just need to look at all the conflict in the world to see the consequences of that approach. It is fair to say then that this human mind and body is like a car that we are driving on the road of life. It is futile blaming the other drivers for how you drive your own car, even if they are bad drivers themselves. It is still up to you to manage the changing conditions that you encounter on the road. What if someone crashes into me through no fault of my own, you may ask? Let's use getting mugged while walking through a park as an example. You get beat up quite bad and spend some time in hospital. In time, your body heals, but you are still afraid to walk in the park. You can keep blaming the mugger for that, but the mugger is long gone. Your suffering is no longer caused by the mugger. It is caused by what your mind is now doing with that experience. The mugger can't solve that for you, even if the mugger gets caught and brought to justice. Only you can heal your own mind. If you choose to remain a victim, then you are giving away your power to heal to that mugger. If only there are no muggers in the world. The world is a dangerous place. I can't go out anymore. And so you stay trapped in your suffering. In reality, your mind is totally within your consciousness, which places it completely within your control. You may not know how to heal your mind yet, because consciousness is a potential that you must learn how to use in order to transform that potential into awareness. But it's up to you to have faith that you have that potential and get on with learning how. That is the reality of being an adult. Therefore, to the degree that you blame other people and the world in general for your suffering is the degree that you will remain powerless over your suffering. Accepting responsibility for your mind places you in the position of being the parent of your mind. You may be a learner parent or an apprentice master, but you have to start somewhere. This means that you, as the awakening parent, have a child, which is your mind. Just because you were brought up in a certain way and learned to believe certain things, that does not mean it ends there. Your parents were not all-knowing gods, and your culture of origin was and still is riddled with suffering. So perhaps it's fair to say that there is more to learn. Your mind, with its memories and conditioning, belongs to you now. It is always there within your consciousness. It is a captive audience. Even though your mind is designed to indiscriminately hang on to its habits, good or bad, your mind can be healed and reconditioned, but you have to know how. To make the real positive difference to your mind, you need to be a better parent to your mind. One who is willing to learn how to love your mind, your human self, unconditionally. And here is that mystery, unconditional love. Is there really such a thing as unconditional love? All those who have truly healed and mastered their minds to an advanced degree know that unconditional love is indeed real. They know it is the ultimate force of healing, awakening and transformation. In the embrace of unconditional love, you experience being totally accepted just as you are, human fallibilities and all. This is the basis of acceptance as a law of consciousness that enables you to awaken and empower your self-awareness. The root of acceptance is unconditional love. Accepting yourself as you are is an act of responsible self-love. You are opening the door to engaging in a loving and compassionate relationship with your wounded and confused human mind, like responsible parents do when looking after their own child. You are then in a position to be more aware of when you don't accept yourself. Your mind becomes your own child. You are now accepting responsibility to raise your own mind. You are proactively engaging with your mind as your own parent. Therefore, you are now seeing your mind as something other than you as the parent. You therefore awaken to the nature of awareness, that is something that can transcend and stand apart from the mind in order to observe it and engage with it. Acceptance is the basis of any relationship. To the degree that you don't accept someone as they are, is the degree that there is a barrier between you. Your mind became wounded and confused because you did not receive experience a sufficient amount of unconditional love while you were growing up. Now you are learning to be the source of that love to yourself. Therefore, in order to truly heal and transform your mind, you empower yourself, your practice of self-acceptance, by trying to engage in unconditional self-acceptance, which is going to further empower your ability to identify the ways you don't accept yourself, and also challenge you to consider that any thought that causes you to suffer must be confused in some way. Everything in your mind is now open to be examined and constructively questioned from the perspective of total self-acceptance and personal responsibility. When you accept yourself as you are, you have set a commitment to not judge yourself when you get triggered and act irrationally like a child. In addition, as a good parent, you are also committed to taking full responsibility for your irrational reactions. You are learning to not judge your irrational reactions, the child that is your mind, but instead stay present with them in order to get to know them and understand them, so that you can guide and mentor this inner child, this mind of yours. So why aren't we all doing this? Because opening up our mind is like opening up Pandora's box. When we lift the lid, we encounter many wonderful things. But we also encounter pain and fear and vulnerability and the deep dark thing that is driving this suffering, which is self-rejection. We have come to believe and fear that we don't measure up, that we are not good enough for the love of those seemingly godlike people who were caring for us when we were powerless, vulnerable young children. This is a terrible thing to believe and experience, and therefore feel. As young children, for our very survival, we need to feel at one with our parents. Their attention and love is everything to us. This is the unconditional love, the oneness that we craved, and the more we received it on a consistent basis, the more we learn to love, respect, and care for ourselves. I'm not talking here about spoiling a child by indulging their natural self-centered grasping. The true unconditional love is also wisdom. It teaches personal responsibility. As the aware parents, we are teaching our children how to be aware parents of their own minds. But when we don't get that life-giving love on a repeated basis, young children, due to their natural and vulnerable egocentricity, conclude that there must be something wrong with them, that they are not worthy of this love, which is very close to thinking that we are not worthy to live. We feel separated, cast out, rejected by love, by life. This is extremely painful to feel, and if we can't do anything about it, our survival mind starts putting up protective walls against our own emotional pain, because no one is coming to take care of it, and the child does not have the capacity to take care of it either. We learn to survive, but in a limited, closed-up psychological state. When we try to face ourselves, it is this devastating self-rejection that we feel as some sort of existential dread that we avoid at all cost. Our ego mind is still trying to protect us from the perspective of still being this small, powerless, vulnerable child, and will do all it can to avoid this pain. Ego being our potential of consciousness that is still captured by and serving the mind's habitual conditioning, and is therefore not aware in the true sense of the word. We avoid ourselves, therefore, and project onto others our fears and insecurities, because we struggle to face our own lack of self-worth and judging. To our ego, facing ourselves at first often feels like dying in that dark night of the soul, of letting go of fear-based controlling, because our ego thinks that letting go risks being rejected by others, even though our ego controlling often results in the very thing that we most fear, which is why the out-of-control ego will inevitably back itself into a corner. Self-acceptance, the servant of unconditional love, is the antidote to self-rejection. By committing ourselves to accepting ourselves unconditionally, we place ourselves in the position to no longer be identifying so much with this crippling self-rejection. We can more easily see it as confusion and feel compassionate towards the vulnerable and emotionally wounded small child, confused teenager, or young adult we once were. Unconditional self-acceptance makes facing ourselves possible. It makes it safe and manageable. And if you keep persisting, and therefore healing and growing, it makes facing yourself feel like a wonderful opportunity to love yourself more and realize even more of your potential. Now you are accepting that you couldn't avoid being human, and you are seeing your mistakes now as an opportunity to learn about your mind and how it became confused. So now you are doing something that very few people do. You are regarding your emotional reactions as your inner child calling out to you for help. I'm scared and stuck in my confused and hurting, and I need help, is what your inner child is saying underneath the acting out. Now you are learning to stay with your painful emotions, seeing this fear and vulnerability as doorways into your wounded and confused mind and your human story. Isn't that what you wanted from your parents, for them to compassionately be with you, hear you, feel you, in order to understand you, so they could appropriately guide you? You may not be able to stop the reaction in the moment, but you can go back to it at any time. Face it, feel it, open your heart to it, and in the process, learn something from it. With this ongoing lifelong commitment to yourself, you will become increasingly conscious of the confused and habitual thought structures that are driving your painful emotional reactions and disempowering you, and are being triggered but not caused by the world around you. Not caused by the world around you because you are now an adult with your own power of consciousness who can take total personal responsibility for all that you think, therefore feel, say and do. You will still experience how powerful and overwhelming your painful emotional reactions can be. You will experience how your own fight or flight primal self who is just trying to protect you like you are still that child, will try to shut you out, like it does to the world around you. However, your unending commitment to yourself will mean that you will pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and learn some more from that experience, and have another go to be your own parent. With your unending commitment, you will come to see and experience how powerful and unlimited your awareness is, as your consciousness is able to venture deeper and deeper into the labyrinth of your mind and guide your inner child into a new world of kindness and caring that you are creating for yourself. You will observe how your new, more conscious response to the circumstances around you can change your world by first changing yourself. You will discover that you are in charge of your own reality, that you are aligning to the physics of consciousness, regardless of the circumstances and conditions that you encounter in life. You will discover that you are in charge of your own peace, well-being, and happiness. Therefore, unconditional love, accessed through the laws of consciousness, which are acceptance and personal responsibility, cannot be truly understood or grasped intellectually. You must put those laws of consciousness into action, particularly with your own relationship with yourself, in order to experience and therefore know unconditional love. As you gain more self-awareness, you gain more power to heal and recondition yourself. Instead of your mind being in a state of conflict, you are now conditioning your mind to match your potential and serve you as awareness. You will be becoming increasingly at peace with yourself, at one with yourself. Furthermore, as your inner peace and awareness grows, along with your growing ability to let go of fear-based ego controlling and be more present in the moment, seemingly mysterious things start to occur. The more connected you feel with yourself, the more connected you feel with others and life itself. You start to feel this and experience this connection with life in the form of synchronicities, for example, where life seems to be coordinating itself with you. You meet the right person who has the right information at the right time, for example, and this becomes more of a norm. You start to feel, experience, and know that everything exists within the one consciousness. But this is no longer a mystery either, because we come to feel and know that through our practice of being unconditional love, is how we learn to feel this oneness, this universal consciousness that is life, that we can perceive in our own aware consciousness. So here is a formula for awakening your limited ego into unlimited conscious awareness, and therefore unlock your power to heal your mind and evolve. 1. Wholeheartedly commit your life to learning how to be the two essential laws of consciousness, unconditional love, starting with acceptance and total personal responsibility. This is for everything you think, feel, say, and do. These two principles are your master teacher. In fact, life is your master teacher. Living unconditional self-acceptance and total personal responsibility enables you to become a student of life, your ultimate master, realizing that every experience you have in life is now an opportunity to know yourself more, heal more, and evolve more, because you face yourself in every opportunity. These two laws of life represent the foundation of your ultimate potential. So devote your life to acceptance and personal responsibility. 2. Identify yourself as conscious awareness, learning to be the aware parent of your human self. Ego is consciousness that is unaware and serving your mind's blind, habitual conditioning and primal fear-based instincts, which is why the poor old ego gets a bad name. Ego is set free from the prison of the mind and transformed into awareness by you doing your best to live the two essential laws of consciousness. This enables you to start observing your mind and engaging with your mind instead of just being your mind. Therefore, know that you are conscious awareness, learning to be the loving guardian of your mind. 3. Make this new approach to your life your way of life for the rest of your life. Your mind is deep, multi-layered and complex, and has a powerful instinctual drive to survive. The mind in its own dimension does not know your potential as an aware consciousness. Even though the love and wisdom that is within your potential is what your human self has always been searching for in the world, but not finding it. Never take your mind for granted. It only knows its habits and primal instincts. It is up to you to keep guiding your mind into yourself endlessly in order to reprogram it into new life-enhancing habits that will be a genuine support to your conscious awareness. Awareness is unlimited. Despite the natural power of the mind, it has to give way to awareness. But it will only do so if awareness is there offering it a new reality ongoing. So make this approach to life, this living by the two foundational laws of consciousness, your way of life. 4. Keep being open to learn. It is your responsibility to educate yourself in how to be your forever aware parent and master. In this age of easily available information, all you need is within your grasp. So let the two essential laws of consciousness guide you to what is useful to learn. Also, regard every person you meet and every experience you encounter as a mirror reflecting yourself to yourself. This is where life becomes your teacher, where you recognize that life is at one with your consciousness and has always been trying to facilitate your awakening and evolving. Now you can be the willing student of life and be in the flow of your own evolution. Look intently into that mirror that life provides you in each moment so that you can see into the depths of your own mind with your own loving, compassionate heart. Always be open to learn. So that concludes this episode. And don't forget my book, 5 Steps to Freedom, A Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. Feel free to contact me by email if you have any comments or questions. Be your own forever loving and compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart.